First Bachelor, representative of the members group proposing one of the special resolutions. Jane Barron, recording secretary and scrutineer. Peter Brown of Edwards, Kenny and Gray LLP as parliamentary. I would also like to introduce Adrian Legan, president and CEO of Coastal Community, and extend a warm welcome to the other board members, executive team members, management, employees, and members attending this morning. As we begin, I will cover some housekeeping items to help with the running of this meeting. Questions may be submitted through the chat feature at any time during the meeting. To do this, to do with a motion will be addressed before voting on the motion. Questions for the two representatives will be answered during the discussion and question period towards the end of the meeting. To ensure we get as many questions as possible, we may address questions on the same topic together. If you'd like to submit a question, select the chat feature, type in your question in the text box, and click the send button. We'll have an online poll to approve the agenda and the special rules of order for this meeting in a moment, but as I mentioned earlier, the vote on the special resolution will take place over the course of the next month. With no objections, I will make the following appointments to serve this special general meeting. As recording secretary and scrutineer, Jane Barron. As parliamentarian, Peter Brown. I will also ask Peter Brown to moderate some of the sections of this meeting. The next item of business is to approve the agenda for the meeting. A copy of the agenda has been provided in the meeting handouts. I have a motion from Jane Barron and a seconder from Paul Johnson to approve the agenda. If you have any questions regarding the motion, enter them using the chat feature, and I will pause for a few seconds to see if there's any question about the agenda. Peter, do you see any questions about the agenda?
No, Suzanne, I don't see any questions about the agenda.
Thank you. Seeing as there are no questions or discussion, please proceed to enter your vote for the motion to approve the agenda. Thank you. The poll is now closed. The affirmative has it, and the agenda is adopted. Next is the approval of the special rule of orders. I have a motion from Allison Kresge and a second from Jerry Weaver. Before you vote on this motion, I will ask for your patience while I highlight a few of the special rules of order. The following special rules of order are designed to facilitate progress of the Coastal Community Credit Union's special general meeting and to assure orderly debate, courtesy, fairness, and equality for all. Rule number 3. Meeting is an informational meeting in conjunction with special resolution number 01-2023 and special resolution number 02-2023. No other motions or resolutions will be considered except as necessary for functioning of the meeting or as invited by the chair. Number 7, questions or comments on any report or other matters except pending motions may be submitted by members at any time during the meeting via the chat feature and will be addressed as time determined by the chair. Number 9, no member may submit more than 3 questions or comment on the same matter without the permission of the chair. I won't read the other rules of order since you have all been provided a copy of the special rules of order in your meeting handouts. If you have any questions regarding the special rule of order, please enter them using the chat feature. I will pause for just a few seconds to see if there are any questions about the special rules of order. So please bear with us. Peter, are there any questions about the rules of order?
No, Suzanne, I do not see any questions.
Thank you. Seeing as there are no questions or discussion, please proceed to enter your vote for a motion to approve the special rules of order. As a reminder, there may be a slight delay as the results are being tabulated, and we appreciate your patience. The poll is now closed, and the affirmative has it. The special rules of order are adopted. Now I will turn you over to our parliamentarian, Peter Brown, for this part of the meeting.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Suzanne. I appreciate it. So I'm a lawyer who specializes in credit union law. I work for many credit unions throughout BC, as well as some in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario. I just wanted to give you a bit of background about how we got to this point and what's happening and what happens next. So just as mentioned earlier, this is an informational meeting just to learn more about these two special resolutions. One of the special resolutions is proposed, as I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, know, by a group of members. So the legislation that governs credit unions in BC gives members the right to requisition or require a special resolution to be put to member vote if they get 300 signatures, at least 300 signatures. So the legislation has since changed to increase this threshold to approximately 1,100 members for a credit union coastal size, but the members here submitted the requisition to coastal community prior to the change in that law. The member requisition in this situation was presented to the credit union in December 2021. So the requisition had approximately 323 signatures. Only 306 of those could be verified as members, but in any event, we're over the 300 signature requirements, so that means that, and we have a resolution to consider. The board of Coastal reviewed the requisition and advised Mr. Batchelor, who's on our call today, he's a representative of the member group, that the board would call a vote on the member proposed special resolution. At the same time, the board decided to propose a second special resolution on tenure limits with some slight differences. So we have two special resolutions before us today. One is from credit union and one is from a member group. Before proceeding to a vote, the credit union needed to get preliminary consent from the regulator to these changes. Under BC law, any special resolution to amend get the preliminary consent of the regulator first, and that's in BC. That's the BC Financial Services Authority, or the CFSA. That approval process takes about 120 days. So that's been done. Coastal has obtained preliminary consent from the BCFSA to both of these both resolutions. To be passed, the special resolution requires 2/3 or greater of those who vote to vote in favor of the resolution. In this situation, yeah, we would do resolutions, so both pass. The coastal community board one will go ahead, move forward. The member proposed one will not. The reason for this approach is it would be problematic to have the two resolutions both in operation, as they're slightly different. Any of the resolutions that are passed here, the credit union will be required to apply for formal consent regulator prior to the special resolution taking effect. That process takes about 30 days. If neither resolution passes, then the current board policy and term limits apply. That policy mirrors Coastal's special resolution, which is a 12-year term tenure limit, followed by a minimum 3-year break before a person can run again to the current term. The objective of this meeting, talked about it, it's an informational meeting, but to allow for a balanced and fair discussion about the two special resolutions. So with that in mind, Evelyn Clark, Chair of the Conduct Review and Corporate Governance Committee of the Credit Union, will be asked to speak to the Coastal Community Proposed Special Resolution. And then Evelyn will be followed by member Bruce Batchelor to provide his comments on the special resolution proposed by the member group. Evelyn and Bruce will each be allocated 5 minutes. So after that, then we can address some questions that we may have. Just as a reminder, questions can be submitted through the chat feature in this online platform. So now I'd like to invite Evelyn to prepare the Coastal Community Proposed Special Resolution. Just as a reminder, Evelyn, you have 5 minutes to make your comments. Please.
muted, Evelyn.
Thanks so much, Peter. To the members present, thank you everyone for your interest in attending the meeting. This is a really important member vote, and we're really pleased to share with you the board's position on introducing tenure limits for directors serving on the board into the Coastal Community Rules. I'll start by saying that your Coastal Community Board Director believes that board continuity of experience, which provides stability for CCCU, and board renewal, which provides diversity and new perspectives, are both really important. I'd also like to emphasize that while board turnover has naturally occurred in the past, your CCCU board is in favor of formal tenure limits because they are now considered best practice. In fact, we have already been conducting a comprehensive rules review and have planned to include tenure limits as part of that review. Coinciding with this broader review, the board received the member proposed special resolution on tenure limits. So we decided to move separately and faster on this particular item. In establishing board tenure limits, the important objective is to achieve the best possible balance between the necessary expertise and experience on one hand, and the need for new perspectives and fresh ideas on the other hand. Regarding the member proposed resolution, first, we wish to thank the members for the considerable consideration and time they have put into this significant issue. However, as representatives of all of our members, the CCCU directors are very concerned about the risks it would create to the credit union if it were approved with our rules. Increased risk in the credit union world is to be avoided. Very simply, we believe the director tenure limit in the member group proposal is too short. Compared to industry and governance best practices, it is on the low end of time, and that would have a significant impact. If we jumped ahead the member proposed rule change took effect, it would result in 80% of the current board members being ineligible to run over the next 3.5 years. This would create significant instability in your credit union due to the high turnover and loss of expertise and experience in such a short period of time. Plus, it may be more difficult for us to meet the expectations of our regulator. This turn would increase the likelihood that we would be required to appoint or pay external new directors, resulting in increased costs. In addition to that, parts of this resolution are inconsistent with the existing rules, which would create ambiguity and in any kind of future decision making. Acting as a credit union's director is complex and requires significant training to stay updated to the evolving state of board governance. And the protection of our members' finances and the credit union is our paramount responsibility. So, your board of directors worked hard in developing the CCCU special resolution to achieve the best possible balance between necessary expertise and experience and the need for new perspectives and fresh ideas. We did that by looking at governance best practices and what similar credit unions are doing at this time. The board resolution specifies that if a member serves as a director for 12 consecutive years, they are not eligible to run again without a minimum of a 3-year break. The impact of the CCCU resolution would be that 40% of existing board members would be ineligible to run over the next 3.5 years, compared with 80% with the group member resolution. We believe the CCCU special resolution achieves a better and more reasonable balance of board renewal with board continuity. Prior to closing, I wish to mention that the board believes so strongly in tenure limits that we have already passed a policy that is in place for upcoming director elections. That's the same as the one we presented to the members for their vote today, which would formalize it in our rules. For these reasons, we are respectfully encouraging our members to vote in favor of Coastal Community Special Resolution and against the member proposed special resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Evelyn. I would now like to invite Bruce Batchelor as the member representative to present the member requisition special resolution. This will be followed by, we'll answer some of your questions that you've been submitting. And again, Bruce, we'd just like to remind you that you have 5 minutes to make your comments, and I believe you'll just have to go on stage to be able to to speak and present. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Absolutely, that's great, thanks.
Okay. Hello, I'm Bruce Batchelor, and I'm speaking to you from the unceded ancestral territories of the Tsleil-Waututh Coast Salish people. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak on behalf of hundreds of members of our Coastal Community Cooperative Credit Union. I'm speaking in favor of members voting in favor of both term limit resolutions. It is vital that at least one of the resolutions gets two-thirds approval. I'll explain the math in a minute, but first, please let me explain why I and hundreds of members care. Basically, we worry that our credit union is drifting away from its cooperative roots and is heading towards becoming an impersonal, unconnected pseudo-bank. A term limit will help ensure that our board of directors benefits from fresh ideas, energies, and focus. As our communities and the world face multiple concurrent compounding crises, cooperatives are more important than ever. The affordable housing crisis, people's mental health struggles, the cost of living, concerns about growing inequity, climate change, the loss of biodiversity, these things are impacting people in our communities. Our Coastal Community Credit Union is a roll-up of many smaller community cooperative credit unions. These credit unions began with loggers, fishermen, teachers, and families in rural communities coming together to help one another and their communities to survive and even thrive during very challenging times in the last century. The banks would not deal with rural and working class people, so neighbors banded together to help each other. For example, the work of Hillary Brown and her friends on Hornby Island became an inspiration to cooperative organizers around the world. That small credit union financed a thriving cooperative store and loans for homes, fishing boats and farms, and even for a ferry service. Also internationally recognized was how leaders at the Nanaimo Credit Union organized housing cooperatives, co-op retail stores and services, and other needed enterprises. And it is notable that all this happened in our communities in an era before the credit union directors received any pay at all. BC's credit unions were the first to extend credit to women without a man needing to co-sign. Our credit unions gave loans and mortgages to local members based on their character, not on algorithms set in some distant headquarters. Sadly, many of the largest BC credit unions have drifted so far from their original purposes that some have even converted into federally administered financial institutions. Now about the voting. Here is why we are urging fellow members to vote in favor of both resolutions. Basically, it is more important to have a term limit at all than whether it is for 9 or 12 years. We believe that either resolution is better than no limit if we want to ensure that our credit union has the benefit of directors who bring diverse experience and fresh ideas. To come into effect, a resolution needs two-thirds approval, not the standard 50% you might expect. There is a warning here. If members vote for one and against the other, the odds are very high that neither resolution will get the two-thirds needed to pass. This is because one vote against cancels out two votes in favor. At other credit unions, when resolutions have been set up by the board to compete against each other, one or both resolutions may have received more than 50% in favor, but neither received the two-thirds level needed to pass, and so no term limits were established, and the renewal efforts of their members were thwarted. So let's not fall into that trap for their voting now. The next step for members who would like to see a revitalization of our credit union will happen at the election for four director positions this spring. Can carefully consider which candidates could bring fresh energy and a solid commitment to cooperative principles. Many members have told me that they feel that the way that the resolutions have been composed is unfair and biased. Please don't be distracted. Just vote in favor of both resolutions to ensure that we can move forward on the path to reclaim and re-energize our cooperative credit union. At a time when people are facing so many difficulties, we need a vibrant cooperative credit union more than ever. Let's take inspiration from the Coast Salish people who thrived on these territories since time immemorial with their key values of love, kindness, joy, and belonging. Please share this message with your friends and neighbors in person and online in your communities. Thank you all. You can reach me at bruce.batchelor@gmail.com. Namaste.
Great, thank you very much, Mr. Batchelor. There's having some questions coming through, so we're now going to take a chance to answer some of those questions. So again, if you can send that those in the chat feature, which some of you are beginning. So we want to have a fair and balanced discussion on these issues. So each question will be answered by a representative of Coastal and then also by Mr. Batchelor. So we want to give sort of representatives a chance to speak. We want to have a one-minute time limit for each speaker on the question, and I will try and apply that to both sides of this. In terms of, again, for fairness, unless a question is directed to either the credit union or Mr. Batchelor, I'm going to rotate the order. Who gets to go first, who gets to go second. We've only got an hour for this meeting, so I'm going to try to get as many questions as possible. If some of the questions are unanswered by the top of the hour, the remaining ones will be answered in writing after the meeting, and the response will be sent to all attendees of the meeting so that you can have the information prior to casting your vote. With the fact that we have an hour, we'll try and run through these questions quickly if we can. We're going to start with some questions that were submitted prior to the meeting. The first question is directed to Evelyn Clark. And so we'll get Evelyn to go first, and then I'll ask Bruce to go second. So the question is this: what are the differences between the two proposed special resolutions?
The differences between the special resolution is basically one of time. We are asking, so the standards of tenure limits that currently occur in credit unions in British Columbia and across Canada are between 9 and 15 years. The board had a significant discussion about that and decided that a fair length of tenure was around 12 years. And we felt that that's a major difference between the two. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Evelyn. Mr. Batchelor, would you like to add something there?
Well, I agree that there's a difference in time there. There's also a difference of a sort of a technicality in the second one, the board one, which is saying that it has to be 12 continuous years. And so what that does, unfortunately, is allows somebody who has 35 years, if they've had 1 year out as a break, to essentially, that was a reset. But anyways, just vote for both. It's better that we have one or the other, because the board's policy is toothless. It is just a guideline, and we know that already two of the directors, long-serving directors, have already filed their papers to run again, and sort of disrespecting the basic concept of let's have people take a break, a significant break, after 12 years.
Second question also actually is directed to Evelyn. So I'll ask Evelyn to go first, and then Bruce will go after. How is your special resolution aligned with best practices?
I'm probably repeating myself a little bit, but when the rules review started, we started having a conversation about tenure limits back in about a year ago. It's been a long time. What happened was we actually polled all of our credit unions in British Columbia and polled credit unions of our size across Canada. And the alignment of best practices is actually to have between 9 and 15 years of tenure limits with between a 1 and 3 year grandfather clause. We have stepped back from the grandfathering clause, and we have decided to just go ahead with 12-year limits. We have to start somewhere, and it isn't necessarily going to be easily balanced to begin, but right now we are within the rules. Once those rules change, we'll change those.
Thank Ms. Evelyn and Mr. Batchelor, any comments on this point?
The whole concept, you know, and I've done considerable research on this, including with University of Victoria's Business School on cooperative governance, is that the concept of best practices is thrown around pretty loosely. In some cases, it's considered, okay, let's do what the minimum is we have to do, what's the average and things like that, what suits us personally even. So there's lots of cases where some boards have said, okay, 12 years, but that's it, you're out for life. You don't get to come back. Give a chance to somebody else to come in and take over. So the rules that are in existence across the country were set up by boards really in a conflict of interest situation where they wanted to stay in as long as possible. Because, maybe quite rightly they thought they were, well qualified and essential. But I think that that's really doing disrespect to the general membership to believe that there aren't other people in the membership, 100,000 people that couldn't step in and do a wonderful job. So anyways, just hope for both. That's the answer here. We need to get something going because the board's policy isn't enough. So otherwise we're falling into the trap of having one versus the other. Thank you.
Thanks. So the next question perhaps fits in what you were just speaking to. So Bruce, maybe you could go first on this one. The question is, can someone please tell me what the standard currently is for tenure limits?
The standard that's currently in place for tenure limits at Coastal Community Credit Union is infinite. Someone mm-hmm. could get in on the board and stay forever. The board has passed a policy in September, which is odd because that was like a year after the topic was brought up. But anyways, it's just a guideline. They called it a policy, but it's really just a guideline and it's optional. The directors aren't really, there's no teeth in it. They're not required to follow it. So that's a bit of a distraction, I think. So we really do need to have a real rule on tenure, and either one is better than none. So again, vote for both, please.
Evelyn, do you have any comments or response to that question?
Sorry, my microphone is not enabled quickly enough. Certainly, yes. Well, I agree. I think the term toothless is probably a little bit dramatic. In fact, we have embedded that the reflective term limits in our governance manual, which is about 400 pages long. We do follow the governance manual very, very closely. You are correct, it is not a rule right now, but our commitment is that when we bring forward our rule review, which will be happening at the AGM, it will be embedded in that rule review and will become a rule. So between now and April, it is a policy, but we have, I'll state it again, we have said that we will bring this into our rules as of the AGM this year. So, we are sort of hired democratically to govern people and govern the credit union in the best way possible, and I believe we have done exactly that.
The next question I'll put to you, Evelyn, first, just so we're rotating here, says, are board terms staggered so that there will always be people with experience on the board?
That's correct. A couple of things. So what we try to do is over a three-year period, we try to take, there are 10 people currently on the board. So we take three people step down or four people step down per year and are required to run again. So they, that's a staggering piece. So I ran last year and I have a three-year term and then I will, I won't be running again. That's not in my future. But so that allows for the experience to come forward. I just want to also point out that being on a corporate credit union board is really, there's some important stuff that goes on, and I've watched people come onto boards, and I'm sure that our new members, our board members can express this. It takes about 2 years to get up to speed, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done, a lot of training that needs to be done, and really people aren't firing till about 2 years in. So when someone steps up to the board in June of next year, there's going to be a great deal of work to do to bring them up to the corporate standards, including required training. So it isn't something like you automatically get onto the board and you know how everything goes. So there is quite a training period, and I do have a lot of respect for the people who both take that training and upkeep that training every year.
Thanks. Bruce, just a reminder, the question was our board term staggered so that there will always be people with experience on the board.
Okay, am I on again? Okay. Yes, everybody has to rotate off in 3 year periods. What's happened, though, is that we've had people rotating 3 year periods for decades. People have stayed on forever because the process of bringing on new people has, I guess, had not really been respected. It's a responsibility of the board to be looking at renewal and recruiting more people and making sure that we have new ideas and a balance of talents and experience on there. And I think the board, in our case, has not lived up to that responsibility adequately, because we've got so many people on the board that have had way more than 12 years experience, or tenure on the board. And so we've got a bit of a jam up now of when these resolutions go through, if one of them goes through, that yes, there's going to be some turnover, but we, this is something that should have been done a long time ago. And, we can look at this idea of board tenure limits, and it's not a new thing. Van City instituted their tenure limits back in the 1990s. And, the Financial Services Authority, FICOM it was called at the time, was recommending that boards have a tenure limit written into their rules and passed. They were recommending that at least as far back as 2014. So it's really, this board has shown a real reluctance and delinquency of not having addressed this sooner. So that's why I think it's really important that we not fall into the trap of voting for one versus the other, but vote for both of them to make sure that we do get it through. And I guess there's one other thing that, Peter, maybe you could speak to, but my understanding is that the members can't vote on a rule change on a specific item twice within a two-year period, or if it's voted on once and defeated, it can't come up for another 2 years. So if we don't improve the tenure limits right now, that can't be included. As I understand it, I'm not a lawyer, Peter is, that can't be included in the overall comprehensive package that the board is bringing forward in the spring. Is that true, Peter? Have I understood that right?
Not entirely. So that two-year limit relates to what's the member requisition. So the members can bring another requisition within a two-year period on term limits. Again, within a two-year period, if that was defeated here. That doesn't, however, stop the board, for example, from in the spring putting term limits in the actual rules. The board still can do that. Yeah. Okay, just a reminder to both of you, to try and keep our answers to 1 minute. You both went over, so we've got a bit of a build-up on the questions that we want to answer. This, I have to go back to Evelyn first on this one, because it's a question her, and this is, will the board maintain its policy if their resolution fails to pass?
Under a minute, the answer is yes.
Nicely done. Okay. Mr. Batchelor, do you have any comments on that one?
I understand that the board would keep a policy on the books, but the policy doesn't have any teeth, and we're already seeing that members or board directors are ignoring it. So I don't see, why that's relevant. We have, if you're having term limits, certainly it's there for a principle. There's a reason for wanting people to be rotated out. And so if you're going to hang on a technicality of somebody who's been on the board for 35 years and you're going to recommend them for re-election because they were away for 1 year, and so it's not 12 continuous years, that doesn't seem like there's any sincerity behind that. I'm sure there are other reasons why those sorts of things are happening, but it doesn't seem right to me.
Okay, Bruce, we'll go to you with this next question first. The question is, are there any lifetime limits with either resolution?
Thank you. In some boards have done that, and one could look at that and say, well, that one is a best practice. And I'll point to Van City Credit Union that has a lifetime ban or hiatus. You get to retire, you get, you've done your bit. It's like somebody that comes to a party, it's great fun, but at the end of the night, you want to say, okay, thanks very much, it's time to go home. And so, with neither of these limits, neither of these resolutions, is there a lifetime ban? Should there be? Could there be? I'm not sure. I think the most thing we want to concentrate now is getting at least some sort of a 10-year limit in place right now.
Okay, I'll go to you, Evelyn, with this. If you have any comments, again, a reminder, the question was, are there any lifetime limits with either resolution?
At this point, there are not lifetime limits.
Okay, thank you. Next question goes to Evelyn first, and I'm not sure, Evelyn, you might need me to help answer this one, but the question is, Evelyn mentioned that the member resolution would conflict with some of the existing credit union rules. Could you please elaborate a little on which rules it would conflict with and what the effects would be?
Well, as we've been working through all of these rules, and it is quite a significant piece of work, Peter, I am going to pop that to you because we've been working with you on that. So I'd appreciate if you would follow up.
Sure. So the member proposed resolution doesn't quite align with some other provisions of the rules. If you were to read it in context, and maybe this is just me being a lawyer, but it doesn't quite flow properly. If you were to read it, it doesn't fit within the rules. So there are some drafting issues that would cause problems. There's some defined terms used in the resolution that aren't defined in the rules, for example. So there's a few little things like that. The credit union always does make sure that whenever any rule changes are made, that it's consistent with the rest of the rules, etc. I wouldn't say that any of the drafting issues are material in that it would cause a real serious problem, but there definitely are some things that could be improved if we were maybe to do this again. So I don't want to say much more than that. Bruce, if you want to speak to that at all, please feel free.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that that's brought up because 2 years ago when I and other members wanted to draft the resolution and bring up a question of term limits, the board refused to provide us any collaboration at all. Did not, even though we asked, they did not allow us to use Peter's services. So what we did is we did our best at looking at other resolutions that are around, call them best practices if you want. And then we drafted up some wording that was circulated to knowledgeable people, and then we submitted it to the regulator, which is the BC Financial Services Authority, and they have approved it as not a problem at all. So, you know, if their analysts say that it's okay, that seems pretty good to me.
Thank you. I will just say something there. We shouldn't. So yes, BCFSA have approved given preliminary consent to both resolutions. They do want us to make sure that we don't say that they're endorsing either one. They looked at it. They said they can go ahead. So I just want to make up that. This one needs to come to Evelyn first as well, because it's to you, Evelyn. Did the board have term limits resolution fully prepared for the member resolution?
No, we did not. When we started our rules review, so the rules review has taken about 18 months to do. It's very intricate, and we had not yet got to that piece. And so, no, we did not have anything drafted at that point.
Thank you. Any comments, Bruce, on that point?
Well, when I talked to Evelyn 2 years ago and then later to Suzanne, they both told me at the time they didn't believe in term limits. They didn't think they were necessary, but they would look at them in the context of the upcoming rules. And I noticed that the board's motion to have a policy was only put in place in September, so it's only a few months ago. So this hasn't been something that's really been on their mind as something they wanted to do, but rather something that, you know, seems like it's just something they figured they better do because it would look good.
Thank you, Bruce. We've got a number of questions still, and we're running into the meeting goes to 11, so we can try and blast through these questions as much as possible. Again, some of them will be answered. We'll be sending responses in writing afterwards. And now, Mr. Batchelor, I'll go to you first. If someone serves for 9 years or 12 and then takes a break for 3 years, can they then serve another 9 or 12-year term?
Yes.
Okay, Evelyn?
On that, we concur.
Okay, I'll go to you, Evelyn, on this next one. Can you please speak more about possible risks and added costs of having an inexperienced board?
So, mostly, the risk is that there's a huge amount of reporting and stuff that needs to happen to the BCFSA, the BC Financial Securities Association, and we are regulated by them and very, very closely regulated, and as are all credit unions in British Columbia. And at the leadership piece of the board, they are scrutinizing our risks very, very closely, and in fact, this year, we struck a risk committee in order to respond to some of the requests from BCFSA, as I think will be all kinds of all the credit unions in BC, if I'm not mistaken. It's really important to understand that we do renew our board. We have a new person on our board this year. We did have a new person last year, it does take quite a long time for people to come up to speed around all of the regulations, all of the policies, all of those kind of things that we do. So what happens is, with that delay, board members are mentored by one of our vice chair at this point in the first 2 years of their tenure, because a lot of questions come up. We are a corporate board. We move very quickly. We have packages that are something around between 200 and 400 pages a month. It's a lot of work that we do, and the risk is that not having the history of the decisions that we've made, assumptions are made about those rules and decisions. With regards to the special resolution, yes, it took till September because we debate everything and we debate it very, very clearly. And we came up with that in September. It took some time.
Okay, over to you, Bruce. The question was, can you please speak more about possible risks and costs of having an inexperienced board?
I think it, you know, perspective of, I don't know how much, you know, you've got multi-billion dollars of assets under administration, and if what it takes to restore the board back to being a true cooperative that has respect for democratic member control, if that costs $40,000, absolutely fine. Let's spend it. Just a comment on the regulators' look. What the regulator is always focused on is the finances, making sure that the loan ratios are fine, making sure that there isn't any mismanagement stuff. What the regulator has always been adverse to doing, and is still very adverse to doing, is monitoring the credit unions or saying anything about being a cooperative, about the things that a cooperative is supposed to do, which is concern for community, which is democratic member control. The regulator, for example, even though it seems obvious to almost everybody in the world that we should have had tenure limits, they were themselves 10, 15 years late and even coming to the party and saying, yes, you should all have them. And then the boards themselves took another, decade or so to get to that spot. So, the idea that this is all so technical, yes, we want to make sure that the risks to people's money is absolutely tight. And the province actually guarantees all the deposits anyways to an infinite limit. So what the BCFSA is doing is just checking to make sure that the province isn't on the line for something that's really sloppy. But no member has ever lost any of their deposit money of a credit union ever in the history of BC credit unions. That's important stuff. The regulator needs to be looked after. But what isn't being regulated, what isn't being paid attention to, is really what I and many members are looking for. Where is the concern for community? Where is the participation with other cooperatives? Where's the real democratic member control, rather than the just doing it for anyways. I think you get the idea. So that's really why we need the term limits, is to start the process of getting people in that have actually a different attitude and a different appreciation of what a cooperative credit union should be. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're going to have time for probably two more questions now. Bruce, I'll go to you, this one to you first. While there is no current term limit, isn't it up to each member to vote for their desired director?
Yes, that is absolutely true. It is up to each member to vote for someone, but one would expect that the election process would be somewhat democratic, that it wouldn't be set up so that the board could recommend themselves to be reelected. And we have a track record of the board has always favored the incumbents. They have actually not recommended, and therefore most members will follow the recommendations. They've lots of very highly qualified people have not made it onto the board. And just last night I received an email from someone who is a chartered professional accountant who said, I've wanted to be on the board, but I just realized that the elections are rigged, so I'm not even going to do it. So you'll have a board that say, oh, we really need to have a chartered accountants on there, but they're not really ready to step down themselves. They're not ready to get out of the way. And that's a challenge. That's a problem. So I think we need to get some tenure limits in there. It'll be a slow process. But it's one step to move towards getting the credit union back to being a cooperative credit union.
Evelyn, just over to you. Just a reminder of the question. While there is no current term limit, isn't it up to each member to vote for their desired director?
Well, you know, and I think we need to talk a little bit more about the democratic process, because I believe that people who serve stand every 3 years to be judged by the membership, and they are voted in regarding that. And yes, although Mr. Batchelor suggests BCFSA is only looking at the bottom line, they too, many years ago, suggested that we go through a recommendation process for our search for board directors. And there are all kinds of reasons why people are recommended or not recommended. I just wanted to make very, very clear that incumbents have not been recommended. One this year was not recommended, and a couple of years back. So the implication of cronyism and favoritism is specious. And I would like to say that, yeah, you do have an advantage if you are a director and you know what's going on, because you are involved in that. And so there is a certain amount of advantage to being an incumbent. That said, if they're not appropriate for the position, we don't recommend them. So.
Thank you, Evelyn. So there, we are running out of time. There are a number of other questions, which is fantastic. So the process for answering those questions will be a written response at this point. And both Mr. Batchelor and the credit union will get a chance to respond to those questions, so that you have a balanced and fair answer to that. So, Suzanne, I would like to turn the meeting back over to you. Suzanne, chair of the board.
And thank you everyone for joining us and all your questions. I will now provide highlights on the voting details. Each special resolution is separate and distinct, and members may vote in favor of or against either one or both of the special resolutions. We strongly encourage you to vote on each of the special resolutions. However, if you choose to vote on only one, your vote will not be disqualified. Voting on the special resolution will take place today, January 6, 2023, to February 7, 2023. You can choose to vote online, in person, during regular branch hours at any of our locations, or by mail. Please keep in mind that you may only vote once on each resolution. You will receive your full member package either online through a messaging and our online banking, or by mail. The results of the election will be announced on our website in late March 2023. We strongly encourage all members to vote on the outcome, as the outcome will determine the future structure of Coastal Communities Board of Directors. How you vote is your decision, and we respect your democratic right to make the choice that's right for you. Your Board of Directors is here to serve each of you and our credit union. In closing, I want to thank all of those within the organization who have assisted with the planning and preparation of this special general meeting. And a very special thank you to members and guests for their attendance and cooperation during the meeting. There being no more business to come before this assembly, and without objections, I declare the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
I do have noon written down.
Yeah.
Bruce.